Yeah.
Right. So that's, I turned the room volume all the way up on here too,
Oh, okay.
just to see. So if it ever, if it,
It's
people
good.
are blaring, it's kind of one of those, you
Oh, you hold
hold
it.
it down.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello.
There we go.
Delay.
Yeah,
all right, we've been talking to you back here.
All right, talking to you back here. It's about as good as it
All right.
gets.
That's also that on that screen. I always forget about that, that's there on the little screen because you'll be able to open that up,
Yeah.
turn them up there, but
Yeah.
it does help with the speaker.
Yeah. Great.
Surface of the sun.
Wow.
Don't quite open it.
Wow.
That's with and without the low light filter.
Yeah,
I think something is. Oh, we'll look at the light from the
that
projector.
probably.
It's going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I know, it's awkward. People have it's awkward.
I mean, we first let's have some air. Let's have some green space at the back.
It's the first thing.
It's really good. Yeah.
Maybe wanted to switch over to funding, but then I was like, I want to take
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the fiction part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying, get me house.
All right. It is 5:03. I will officially call this meeting to order. Can we start with the roll?
Nicholas Brennan.
Present.
Sorry. David Brown. There, David Brown. Tyler Dixon.
I think Tyler's on Zoom.
Catherine Farrell. Elise Forcier. Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Yeah.
Dinesh Gamir. Guy Meyer. Kedrick Linsky. Bridget Hayes.
Here. Cedric's on Zoom as well.
Okay. Michelle Heaney. Kizar Joffrey. Srikant Karaikal. Ocean Kareem.
Here.
Anurag Quayada. Ava Lagressa. Ma Lika. Jesse Lopez. Xander Lynch.
Here.
Salman Matan.
Here.
Anika McGraw.
Here.
Drew Parekh. Bhavin Patel. Olivia Perkins.
Hi, Olivia. There's been a turnover in the veterinary representative. So me and Sam Blum, Elizabeth, my name is Elizabeth Gatz, will be the new reps.
Elizabeth,
can
you tell us what your net idea is?
EHG55.
All right,
thank you.
Of
course. Did I write the other person's name
on this? Yeah. And the other person's again?
I actually don't know, but I can send in the chat once I figure it out.
All right, thank you.
Baswati Sarma. Slim, oh, yep, Sim Sep.
Here.
George Smits. Rajvi Thakur.
Yeah.
Ira Yeh. Malia Matthews. Looks like it's 1, 4, 4.
All right. Thank you very much. Now I'll have late additions to the agenda. I have a couple of changes. David's not here today, so we won't be discussing Resolution 5, so we can table that until the next meeting. And I would also like to add a discussion about potential GPSA funding of a Big Red Barn yoga class. So add that to business of the day. Does anyone else? Oh, yes, we will also add one other thing to business of the day, electing a new student advocacy chair. Our last chair, did you graduate? You graduated, so now we have that open position for that committee, which might be a good opportunity with the Big Red Barn e-class funding. Does anyone else have any other late additions to the agenda? Yes, Andrew.
I'd like to add some discussion about an amendment to the GPSA FC guidelines where that's essentially a similar exemption to what the affinity groups would be getting for the field groups for each department.
Okay, great. We will add that to the business of the day and you can give a little more in-depth of that. Okay, now we will, are there any other late additions to the agenda? Okay, introducing business of the day. This will actually be the time that we'll discuss before the breakout groups. So a couple of things. For the funding of Cornell Cinema, we asked Cornell Cinema, we previously agreed with them that GPSA would potentially be open to funding summer movie showing equipment, so like an outdoor screen and projector and sound system, et cetera, for holding summer movies that would be, you know, open and free to graduate students. And this funding would come from our reserve fund, which we have a pretty good amount of funding in right now. We asked them to give us a itemized budget before we could vote to approve that funding. And the itemized budget they came back with was $17,000 instead of $10,000. So we might want to discuss how we move on with them since they sent that in, whether we go back and say, this is a lot more than we originally had planned for, et cetera. So people can discuss that in their breakout sessions. Up next will be the Big Red Barn. There's been some interest in potentially holding like a graduate student only PE class or some type of fitness opportunity because there's not a lot of options for graduate and professional students to utilize the gyms and take PE classes just due to their schedules, other things like that. So there's been some thought about having a weekly drop-in class at the Big Red Barn for like yoga at different times of the week. And they would have an instructor come from Cornell Physical Education and instruct the yoga class. And it would be free to anyone who wanted to come and join the class. But it would cost around $100 a class to have the instructor for that time. So the Big Red Barn was asking if GPSA would be interested in helping or funding that. So it's still kind of up in the air. Like, it could be a pilot session. We could just do a couple. But I know that there are some committees who have a budget that could potentially be used for that. So we can discuss whether people think that would be of interest to our constituents or not. And then finally, Zander, if you want to give a brief discussion of what your guidelines exception resolution would look like.
Yeah, sure. So it would be very similar to what David was going to discuss. So David was discussing adding an exemption to the membership numbers on campus groups for affinity groups. So these are like minority groups that, you know, due to like how Cornell recruits and how Cornell admits have a limited number. I think that a similar thing should also be for available for department groups, because in a similar vein, departments themselves don't get to determine how much funding or how many grad students they get to accept. And so, especially for smaller departments, I'm thinking particularly humanities and arts, but I'm sure that applies to other departments. These are going to be groups that are never going to meet the guidelines as they are laid out currently, even maybe the minimum tiers, like the lowest tiers. But they're still doing events and they still need some amount of money that they can actually do, use to control or to make events happen.
Just point of information. I know that for generally speaking with clubs, that it's based off the membership they have in order for them to get a budget, and then affinity groups have the excusal for that. But for the affinity groups, how do we figure out how much funding they get since they're being excused from the membership count?
Yeah, that is a good question. I don't know if it's specifically written down in David's.
David's is like, there's like nothing in
resolution. Yeah, I don't think there's any specific. So right now, I think that it's kind of keeping them at the tier that they have been previously. But I would definitely be open to if someone has an idea for that. That would be great. Previously, you know, it's been required that you have to show that you spend a certain percentage of your budget for a year or two in order to raise you up to the next funding tier. And I believe that that is still in place. So I think it's just, not changing any affinity groups' funding level now based on what their membership levels are. So I think it's just the status quo at the moment.
I think it's definitely something that we could include in any amendment so there's five tiers now, right? Plus like the basic is, if I'm remembering correctly. Including the basic. We could definitely like limit it and say like you can only get up to this level with this many students. Add a cap in that way for math.
If you have less than 50 students, you can't pass tier 3 or something like that. Just to maintain some level of check and balance.
Exactly. It's what I was more like for the field groups. What I was worried about and what I like am bringing this up for is there's some affinity groups field groups that with the new guidelines, they will go down to the absolute basic. when they, for years, they've been at a higher tier.
For a point of information, I was how many majors like do you have?
I don't pay attention. I used to go in person, right? All the time. Yeah.
There we go. Muted.
Anyways, so in terms of the community groups and now departmental groups, if we were to pass the proposal, how many organizations will be impacted by this change in comparison to how many that we fund overall?
I believe Xander is planning on creating a list of organizations that would be counted as the field organization so that we'd have a very discrete list. And I don't think that should really change too much because I think all of the departments and fields kind of already have those organizations set. And I believe that David, I think, did his resolution already kind of have like a list of examples? No. Okay.
David, it's like literally like one sentence and then one whereas clause.
Great. We will discuss with David about getting a specific list of the affinity groups. But we fund 300 or 400 organizations. So I'm guessing like 25 to 35% or so would probably be exempted. But there are a lot of organizations that would be.
Point of information, kind of on the same trade of thought as Ocean, is there a place that we can see what organizations are currently receiving funding and their respective tiers of kind of gauge the scope of?
That information is available through the campus groups. Like I can get a spreadsheet of that, and I can plan to have that for the next meeting so we can get it. Yeah, and like see how it's changed over time. But it's a big spreadsheet. we'll just be discussing how people feel about exempting field organizations as well as the affinity organizations from the membership requirement for funding. So definitely a couple things to talk about. So we're going to break out into sessions by field. So let's say humanities down in that corner, social sciences here, physical sciences here, and life sciences over in that corner. And master's somewhere.
Yes, yeah.
Join the smallest group of people.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, and we'll be back at, let's say 5:30.
Like life sciences and humanities, because humanities is kind of already over there.
I don't think so. Okay, I'll get her in a minute. I gotta do this renaming. But thank you, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my thing is, I'm not a fan of membership.
Yeah, it's super
because I just think it's a little bit unfair, or just because you have a large organization that you get the most funding when there is no assessment. Because like each organization has different systems to like how they utilize their budget. Also, if we were to also utilize the fact that you use your budget so efficiently, then this efficiently is also very effective. So
people are that's why
funding can be. Maybe not with all organizations, unless that's a possibility, but there's a bill for an organization to be like, hey, this is our current budget right now, this will be on campus, be like more funding, and this will be doing that funding. I think that would be more
so
that would help out with like less rollover. Should there be
And then
for example,
like the COVID situation, like how many like departments are receiving funding to
So Xander is proposing that we say we do not have a department, but we also never really
an event can be geared towards Chinese students, but still be open to anyone. So I'm not the MU, but I feel like check it out. I think the event, which is
yeah, I think
I got her name in it.
Because on the email it was like a different. Okay. So did anyone have any major comments about the Cornell Cinema funding? And then I'll probably just ask them if they have some options that are not quite as expensive, since it was a lot more than we had previously sent out in like the communique and asked our constituents about.
Oops. We wanted to know, I remember this was brought up a little bit, like how the events would be organized for like participant and like who's allowed to go to the events that are going to be used. So we kind of want to just know the details about that before we.
Yeah, I have been writing up a resolution for it and was waiting for the itemized budget to submit it to everyone. But we were going to include some stipulations that a certain number, I think, per summer, because they're not going to do that many each summer, but like 75% or something would be completely free to graduate professional students, that it wouldn't be limited to us, but that it would be free to graduate professional students because we were putting in the funding, and that they would give us a kind of a list of the movies they were planning on showing. It's just so that it was a broadly appealing set list, let's say.
Okay.
But yeah, there will be some specifics on that, but I was mostly concerned about the increase in cost. Okay, I will keep you guys updated on that. There'll probably be a resolution on that eventually. Any comments on the Big Red Barn yoga funding from GPSA?
How much are they asking for this yoga
fund? It's $100. A session that's just like for the instructor from Cornell PE. So that's like the Cornell PE cost. So nothing is like going to the Big Red Barn. They're just like holding a slot for us to have that session if we want it. Yeah.
And do we have any information on interest for yoga classes within the graduate population?
I believe that the Big Red Barn has hosted them irregularly before and that they were fairly well attended. And I think that having them like regular weekly walk-in sessions would eventually like increase attendance once people kind of hear about them and know what time it's going to be at and that it's free. But I am not sure. It might be something that we could do, you know, a pilot for and just do, you know, maybe a month's worth of it while it's still cold and hard to exercise outside. And that would be a smaller, you know, expenditure and see what the attendance is like. It's just hard when you have a shortened class to tell people about it. It's like the marketing. Yeah, Xander?
Do we know, like what is the capacity of the space? Like, how many people be? And because, like you had said, walk-in, and, like, if it's a walk-in, that could fill really fast, or, like, it could be empty, you know?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on the capacity of the space. We could get a specific for that, but I think it's in the greenhouse section, and then just they push all the tables to the side. So I imagine like 30 or something. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions. I've never attended a yoga session there before. Does the Big Red Barn also provide like mats and everything, or is it something that students have to like bring themselves and everything?
I don't think people have to bring their own mats. I think that's like if you want to bring one, but I could also imagine that you don't necessarily need to have a mat for, because that would save a lot of space if people are just standing versus trying to all lie down. There are different types of yoga. So I can get more specifics, but it's more if people were okay with the cost and maybe trying it out.
And one last question. Are there any mediums or communications to let us spread the word about such yoga class? Has that been solidified yet, or is it still up in the air?
Still up in the air. I mean, we have our, you know, newsletter that we send out every 2 weeks that goes to everyone, but how many people read it? I'm sure. that's mostly it. We can put it in the Big Red Barn newsletter, which goes out every week. And that reaches a lot of people, and that would probably be the most successful modes of marketing. Yeah.
I would say it's a lot of value. We get out of $100 for the event for almost 30 people.
Okay, so sounds like people are all right, perhaps moving forward. I don't know exactly where the funding will come from, but we can, I'm sure there are committees that aren't using all their funding, perhaps, and maybe just doing like a pilot of like a month's worth of them.
I moved to approve a month's worth of yoga sessions once a week as a pilot program for the Big Red Barn.
I don't know if we need to do an actual
can we
vote on it? Well, just because like individual committees have their own kind of discretionary funding.
Okay.
So unless it's coming from our reserve fund, I don't think we need to do a full vote. I just wanted to like gauge the room as I was like moving forward or trying to like schedule it and stuff. Yeah.
I think once we have like a new student advocacy chair and kind of seeing what their plans are for the semester, there's possibly
there. Fantastic. Okay, and last main business of, or yeah, okay. So the FC guidelines exemption for field groups. Do we have any comments about that? We will have, you know, a written resolution, et cetera, with a list of organizations in the future, so it might be something we kind of table until we have a little bit more information, but yeah.
Question. So we were talking about this there and kind of turned into a general discussion about how funds are actually allocated. So what is the policy and the mechanism behind that? And so I'm probably heavily uneducated about this, so we're going to be trying to make mistakes, but currently it's, so funds are being allocated based on the number of members, right? Is that correct?
We recently added that as a requirement this last semester. I don't believe that we have demoted any groups as of yet. I think it's something that we're going to use moving forward. But we had a lot of big changes this last semester, so there's still a bit of growing pain figuring out how everything is working.
So we were talking about whether different policies would be possible depending on the actual goal. So the goal might be to, you know, have more clubs, the more goal might be to say, we have a lot of money, why don't you spend it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know about the goals, but so one thing that seems missing, that was kind of a consensus that we talked about, is that the efficiency of the events or the people who attend, how many people show up, the quality, et cetera, these seem to miss and the current policy, which is fine if you have a lot of money, I guess, but it still is biting.
That used to be a part, like a main part of the requirements was that you had to take attendance at all of your events and like submit that attendance to the finance commission, like to prove that you, yeah, you could say that you had a certain number of members, but who actually came to your events, who like ate the food that you bought, what have you. It's just a huge amount of work for that finance commission, because there are so many events that are being held for the hundreds of organizations that we fund. And do we have one person maybe on the finance commission right now? There's just not a lot of bodies and a lot of interest in overseeing that. And so this last semester, we were given the opportunity to do the same thing that the student activity or the student assembly is doing and working with campus groups and the student business office. So both So now most of that is being overseen by like a campus organization instead of us, because we just didn't have the manpower and everything was slipping through the cracks. So now at least there's a team, and kind of the requirement for us to have them take a lot of the man hours was to, for the most part, follow their guidelines, which were a bit different than ours, because they didn't want to have to do extra different tracking compared to all of the undergrad groups. So I think that's one of the reasons that we aren't tracking things as closely as would probably be wise, but
that's a perfectly valid reason.
It's a difficult situation, yeah. And we don't have, you know, we're all incredibly busy.
Yeah, that's where machines might help, right? So there might be optimal solutions to this because it's a mathematical problem.
Yeah.
So I can't promise, but there probably is a very simple solution to this. We're just not looking.
If you are excited about it and want to think about it and bring an option.
Yeah, so
that's anything.
You know, I'm from the computer science department. There are people there who can definitely, I don't work in optimization, but if only I could get my hands on the mechanism and the different factors or variables or whatever that shadow committee back there.
Yeah. I think they've tried to find different metrics to measure the success or attendance of, or that events are actually happening that require minimum manpower to check. So people have to submit like a flyer for their event. So that's kind of a way, like if people are putting in the effort to make a flyer and like send it out to people and market their event, I think like the campus groups off just kind of using that as a marker of they're putting some thought and effort into this. It's probably a really good idea. But
anyway, this would solve automatically the problem as well, because this is the fairness issue.
Mm.
It would be solving a lot of other issues with it. And I would be happy to help. I can't promise, but I don't know.
Yeah, if you're interested, we could definitely get you connected with the campus groups folks. And
okay.
So we just had a question about the language of the amendment. We're wondering if it's going to be written out explicitly which groups, or if it's going to be describing the characteristics of each departmental group to determine, like, if in the future there's a new departmental group or something, then it won't have to be amended again to include them. So that's just something to consider when writing the amendment.
So I was thinking about that. The issue, I think, might be how we determine that characteristic. One thing that I was thinking of is we already have this mechanism of the field funding. And so that if you qualify for field funding, we could attach the exemption to if you would qualify for that field funding, because the field obviously only wants to give money to what its actual students are. So I was thinking about that, but I'm not sure if that's actually tracked anywhere. And so I would love to add that as a mechanism, which would then be inclusive of future fields or departments that are made, but I don't have access to that, and I don't know if that's something we do currently. So that was kind of my way to address that. And then I also had something that I wanted to talk about, which was just so like to answer the fairness, I think we should remember that fairness is not about equality always. Sometimes it's about equity. So if you're starting from somewhere that is a lower place where you're less funded, have less people, giving everyone the same thing is not fair. That's equitable, but not fair. So I just wanted to address the difference between equity and equality.
Okay, sounds like we will get some more specific information and connect some different folks and see if we can find a who qualifies for field funding, and continue this discussion at the next. Yeah.
Do we want to have some kind of a temporary ad hoc committee dedicated to exploring different methods of distributing funding, and then we could have some people within here to come together to try to work on something with campus groups and then propose it here after like a few months or so after looking to.
I think that could be a good idea if we have a couple people who are really interested. I think it could be, you know, anyone who is interested, reach out to Xander. That sounds okay.
Sure.
I don't want to mediate it or like, you know, create walls around it. So anyone who would like to have a little bit more of a say in the creation of this resolution, reach out to Xander.
Yeah, sure. I guess I can just give out my ID, or is there somewhere we can
put membership in? Is on the GPSA site, so
yeah.
And your name is pretty unique. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, if that sounds good for all of that, we'll move on to the last business of the day, which is asking if anyone would like to nominate themselves or someone else to be the chair of the Student Advocacy Committee.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate myself.
Okay, great. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or someone else for the chair of the Student Advocacy Committee? Okay, can you just let us know who you are and why you're interested in the position, and then we'll
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm Srinatha Humpy, and I'm a student from the Johnson School of Business. I'm pursuing my MBA. And before coming here, I was working in a corporate company in India. So I have about 3 years of work experience there. I was a part of the DEI and CSR initiative as well. And the fall semester, I got to work on campus. And I think I was able to find a few gaps that I really wanted to think about. And during the fall semester, I also saw that there were certain issues with the graduate students and the general administration with respect to wages. So I think one of the primary reasons that I want to share for the committee is one, to ensure that these issues are being vocalized, because before today and before I got connected with Anika, I did not know that this body existed. And when I spoke to my peers and a lot of other people from the Masters of Engineering group, they didn't know as well. And I know that they have issues in terms of understanding what kind of jobs that they can take, what kind of opportunities they can take advantage of, and also think about the resources that are available to them in terms of their physical and mental health. So I'm really excited. Thank you guys for including me. And yeah, just looking forward to seeing how I can contribute.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We can move to have a vote on the new chair of the. Are there any objections to unanimously approving our new
motion to adopt by unanimous?
Do we have a second? Fantastic. Welcome to our new student advocacy. Didn't really give much time for objections, but I think that's okay. All right. If you can come check in with us for like NetID and everything, and we'll try to get you all of your information and budget. All right, we'll move on to the reports of the officers and committee updates and have us out of here in a couple minutes. Executive Committee, Michelle is not here, but we do have elections for all of our positions and also for the chair positions that will be at the end of this semester, so sometime in April. So if anyone is interested in being on the executive board or on being a chair of a committee for next year, think about that. We will have more information with that in the next couple of meetings. Operations. Yeah, operations.
Yeah, just jumping off of that, if any of you are interested in VP of Ops and you want to kind of learn more about what I do, feel free to reach out. We can get together, get a cup of coffee or something and talk about it. But for operations, just continuing to work on the bylaw and charter revision project. I'm going to do most of the heavy lifting for that this semester. So if any of you are interested in helping out with that project, I will not say no to having you on the committee. Other than that, though, just any movement in membership, I will be reorganizing and adding people to committees. So but that won't affect most of you.
Okay, great. Appropriations, David is not here. Communications.
So our first communique for the semester went out on Monday. Usually I like to send them out on Friday, but Eric was out. As always, if you want something included, please send it to me. Usually Thursday by like 5 o'clock is good.
Great. Finance? No? Student advocacy, probably no updates yet, but we're excited to hear what your plans are. Diversity and international students, groups.
Hi, I'm Aisha, and I'll be presenting this kind of thing today.
Awesome.
We had a great start to the semester, and we have made a team out of 12 to 14 students. So we are great on the number of people we are having for our committee. And this semester, we are looking out for a mixed social mix for inviting people and engage in a public meeting out the first month semester. So we are building up on the updates for the next meeting, and I think you and I will be here to update.
Okay, cool. Sounds great. Programming, Katie is not here, but hopefully
they're having a fun day next week. The committee's starting to get
great
planning again.
Hopefully, so the gala is happening. Yep. That's the goal. Okay, graduate school, more.
Yep, nothing to report this evening. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Open forum. Is there anything else anyone would like to talk about before we adjourn? Yeah.
Sorry, I just had one question about procedure for like kicking people off the things, because we've had a lot of people who like haven't come, and several times we've like not been at quorum. So if we were actually deciding something that day, like,
yeah,
we couldn't do anything.
There was something that we added last year. I think if someone hadn't attended like 4 meetings in a row or something, we just took them off of the membership list.
Or like, even if they like, even if they're like emailing and like saying like, I'm still alive, I don't know, like, there's just some people who I...
Yeah, maybe we can have like a once a semester ops.
That's
kind of run through of
membership roles. We're looking into for our like bylaw revision process too, is kind of fleshing that out further, because a big problem with the assembly is attendance, but another big problem is getting people to actually want to be involved. So we're worried that making more stringent attendance policies will discourage people from getting involved, so we're trying to find that sweet spot. But yeah, in me reorganizing committees and things like that, I plan to kind of, after I wanted to check vibes at this meeting, I guess, and then moving forward, I'll kind of be reaching out to people from there. Yeah.
Okay, I would approve a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
All right, we are adjourned. Have a good rest of your Monday evening, everyone.